All right, the NBA season is right around the corner, and the NFL playoffs are coming up as well. No matter what your favorite sport is, the perfect place to consume it with a little bit of extra fun is MyBookie, where the odds boost, lightning deals, and free bets await all season long. Whether you're a first-time customer or you've been playing with MyBookie for years, there's no shortage of value to be found in the thousands of game lines, unique prop bets, and contests that they offer every single week. Sign up today, or if you're a regular player, get reloaded. Find an edge, make your bet, and get paid. That's how MyBookie rolls. They also boost a full-fledged casino platform, giving you access to all the classic tables, the slots, and card games that you'd expect at your favorite local spot. And the best is, it's not smoky. You don't have to wear your mask because you're distancing. You're at the house. You're completely safe, and the doors never close. Make the right play and sign up today at MyBookie. And when you do, use promo code HOOPBALL to get your deposit matched halfway, all the way up to $1,000. The terms are simple. You put in $200, they'll match with you. $100. Again, they match all the way up to halfway. All you got to do is use the promo code HOOPBALL. It's winning season at MyBookie. You bet, you win, they pay. That's how they roll at MyBookie. And we welcome you into the newest episode of the Sacramento Kings podcast, here presented by HoopBall and the Be Heard podcast platform. I am Damian Barling of ESPN 1320. I am joined by the random lady on Twitter, your host here of this prestigious podcast, my dear Jill Adge, with her Sacktown shirt on. What's up, Jill?
Yeah, it's the Kings Herald tie-dye Sacktown shirt.
I like it, man. It's how we represent.
And they are so comfortable. And they have them like every local color you can get too, if you wanted to sport other teams.
But yeah, I saw that. They had the Stingers Up colors. They had the UC Davis Aggie colors. Yeah, they do a great job.
And they're the soft shirts, so they're nice.
That's the way to go. That is the way to go. There's a lot to talk about with the Sacramento Kings. I actually just got an email from Rashawn, their wonderful media relations manager, who's like, no media availability tomorrow because the team's traveling to Portland. I know that doesn't seem like a big deal, but there was at least a few moments during this week where we were kind of like, I don't know if this game on Friday is going to be played. The Trailblazers facility had been shut down, but I guess everybody on both ends are good. Luke Walton even said today during his media availability, our plan is to fly. We're going to go through protocol, and it looks like we're going to have a game.
Yeah, they the Portland on their Twitter account put up a, what did it say? Their account. It could have been somebody else, but saying how they were having a, you know, really hard, you know, hard scrimmage against each other or something, but okay. It was just them scrimmaging. Like, people were making fun of it because of the wording, but, and I have to say, it was still weird to see Harry Giles, like, playing defense in a Portland jersey on them. But they were all out there. And I think that was like one of their first of the week, if I'm not mistaken. And it sounds like I'm speculating, but when they asked Terry Stotts about some of their assistant coaches weren't there, and they asked him why, and he said HIPAA violation. So, I mean, you would have to one would assume.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a great segue, yeah, my friend, because that leads us into really what is the news of today. We're recording this on Wednesday, as we do each and every single Wednesday. And oh, by the way, while we're referencing that, that's probably going to change. We're probably going to have to not necessarily change the day we record, but there are games on Wednesdays and Fridays. We might have to drop a show on a Tuesday. We might drop another show on a Saturday. Like, I don't really know, but our Kings coverage is definitely going to pick up. Obviously, this episode is out. We'll drop one next Wednesday, and then I guess we'll drop one the day before opening night on December 22nd. That'll be opening night for the Golden State Warriors and Brooklyn Nets and the Lakers and some of those other teams, but the opening night for the Kings will be the next day. So our schedule is going to get a little wonky here going forward. But you made the great segue there talking about HIPAA violations. Marvin Bagley emerged today He spoke to the media for the first time since training camp began about a week and a half ago and acknowledged what many of us figured. We feared it was some sort of injury. We assumed it was probably COVID related. And James Hamm, in his clever way, asked him like, hey, we haven't seen you. Have you been absent the first few days of training camp? And Marvin kind of laughed. He was like, well, since you asked, yeah. He caught COVID in Arizona right before he was supposed to come back here. So we can end all speculation. Marvin Bagley is healthy. He's good. He did have COVID, but he's back with the Kings as of today.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to see him back out there. I know the Kings account posted a couple pictures of him, you know, on the court. It's nice to see him back out there and then actually hear from him. And yeah, I mean, we all speculated based on who we hadn't seen at all. So again, and I know plenty of people were making jokes because he said he's probably there, you know, he's obviously not going to be ready to go on Friday, just pure conditioning wise while you're trying to get over COVID. And I mean, I know there's plenty of people making jokes and stuff, but it's about him getting healthy and his body back, you know, after fighting all this. So, but yeah, I mean, again, it's nice to see him back out there. And as long as, you know, I'm hopeful he'll be back there, whether it be within one of the preseason games, which would be nice. So he can at least get some flow with the guys. But at least by, you know, the first game, I think it was Tim that posted that 15-day schedule. And I was making the joke, like, I understand why the Kings released the schedule the way they did on that like long tape so that you wouldn't be able to put all those 15 teams together because it's going to be absolutely brutal.
Yeah. 13, for those who didn't see it, 13 of the first 15 games the Sacramento Kings play are against probable playoff teams. That was the tweet that Tim put out there.
Sorry.
Oh, Tim, just in the background. That was fantastic. I was trying to ignore it. But it walked right through your background, which made it absolutely fantastic. You know, one of the things we need to do is we're working on an ESPN 1320 Twitch account. We need to throw this show onto the Twitch account so people can see the ridiculous stuff that I sometimes see. And you too, like our animals are.
Our animals like to pop in.
It's late in the day for us, and so our animals are like, "Hey, dude, you've been working long enough, man. Come on, let's roll."
Back to Bagley. It's nice seeing him back out there, and he made comments about watching a lot of film.
Yeah,
working on his playmaking, passing. Because I know one thing about. One knock, at least just straight stat wise, is he doesn't have a lot of his assists. So, and when it comes to a free flowing offense, that's one thing that, needs to be worked on, and then his outside shot. So, again, if he can put up anything like his rookie numbers, like it will be great to have him back on the court.
Well, one thing that I thought was really cool, because I did get to hear him speak, is he sounded super positive. He sounded positive. He sounded motivated. And I know that's silly to say, like, it's training camp. There are 30 teams across the league where guys are motivated. Marvin Bagley was like, I want to put last year behind me. You know, it was frustrating dealing with the injuries, but I think he even used the term blessing in disguise once. And he was like, you know, I'm ready to get out there, move forward, and ready to have a good year this year. And I think if you're a Kings fan, man, from a mental standpoint, given that he has every right to feel mentally, you know, challenged and broken here, given what he's dealt with over the course of the last couple of years, from a mental standpoint, hearing that as a Kings fan, you have to be really excited about that.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and as much as we like to, you know, talk about players and things like that, I mean, he's a kid. He is still a kid. Mm-hmm. And in the age of social media and everything else, like I can imagine that, you know, it's any number two pick has a lot to live up to, let alone the number two pick over Luka. You know, you can talk about that till forever. You know, that's just the, unfortunately, the way it played out in his, you know, in his role in everything. And then, you know, you have a good rookie year, and then you're pretty much completely out your second season. And, you know, that's in a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 14 years, where fans are, you know, we're all crazy because we want to see this turnaround, that it is easy to forget that he's just a kid. And mentally, I liked hearing where he was, whether, you know, it's he put on a good front. Like, I'm genuinely hoping, like, that's how his mindset is right now. But 100% agree with you. It was nice to see. And again, it's nice to see him back out there and in the mix of all the guys. So it's, if we as fans, if you want the Kings to be successful, you need Marvin Bagley to be successful. Like, that's aside from Fox and that, like, you need Bagley to turn out. Like, you need that to work.
Yeah.
Long term.
That little noise you heard was me airdropping video files to myself that I haven't been able to put on social media yet. But here is Marvin Bagley in his own words.
I'm feeling great, man. I'm feeling the best I've ever felt in a while. I took time this offseason to put more time into my body, you know, just to do everything I could control to make sure I'm on the court and available for my team. So last season, I'm putting that behind me. I really don't care to talk about it anymore. You know, I'm just looking forward. I'm excited to be with this new group of guys, these new faces we got here. And I'm excited to build on what we've been doing so far.
Just looking at this season.
So what's great about that is you hear him talking to Jason Jones there. There's another, the next clip. I think it's Sean. I think it's Sean Cunningham. And Sean, God bless him. I know you don't want to talk about next season, or I know you don't want to talk about last season, but let's go ahead and just kind of address a couple of things here, which he does. You know, I think he did a great job there at the media. And again, you hear him there. He sounds motivated. He sounds locked in. This is his first time he answered, you know, the question about COVID, and he knew the question was going to come. Like, he let out a, you know, kind of a little chuckle right before answering. And
well, since you asked, you know, I caught, you know, COVID while I was out in Arizona, you know, a couple of days before we had to be out here. So I wasn't here the first few days of camp for individual workouts, but I've been here, you know, watching ever since camp started. But yeah, you know, I'm feeling great. You know, I've been out there working out individual workouts. But yeah, like I said, this is the best I've ever felt. You know, I'm just getting through the COVID protocol, and you know, I'll be back on the court, you know, very soon. So I'm excited about that.
So you mentioned, Jill, about him not playing Friday. It looks like he's not going to play because of NBA protocols, not because of wind, okay. Not because of and while yeah. Wind, stamina, all of that stuff, playing, but you know, basketball shape, all of that, absolutely. Could be a part of the discussion. I don't think it's even in his hands at this point. I think it's he's following the NBA protocols to return, and he's not yet ready to be out on the basketball floor. So
makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. But it's good. Again, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, because real talk, were you nervous?
Oh, well, James' article yesterday had me like wondering where how he like opened it was something, you know, about how Bagley wasn't there, and it was like, that's an article for another day. And it's like, well, is it something else? Like, is there something else going on that we don't know about? Like, we all assumed it was COVID and stuff, but
I was getting nervous. I was like, because you know, Luke would, and you know, Luke is doing a good job at, you know, trying to address these things as best he can without violating any laws.
Right.
Yeah. So he kind of meshed together. Yeah. We had some positives. There's some COVID related stuff, but there's the injury, you know, we have concerns from an injury standpoint, and we've learned, you know, Hassan Whiteside is day to day with a mild calf strain. But we knew we hadn't seen Marvin. And so there was this like, okay, which one is he? Like, is Marvin COVID related or is he injury related? And I really hate to say, thank God it was COVID related, but apparently, you know, he seems in great spirits. He's fine. He's healthy. So good on that sense. But I won't lie to you. You know, today's Wednesday. It was a couple of days where, especially as we got through the weekend, it was like, all right, I'm getting a little nervous. I'm getting a little nervous here.
Right. Yes. Well, and especially because of the history and like how big of a piece we're expecting him to be, like 100%, like our conspiracy theories start.
We
start going, and it's, I mean, it was all over the timelines. Like, is it something like, is it not what we thought? Yeah. I mean, and every day that it went longer that we didn't have a confirmation, it was just, I mean, and again, we totally understand why. It's just, yeah. Of all people, it's, you know, it happened to be the one that we were all waiting to see.
Yeah. So, yeah, right. If it had been Kyle Guy, no one would have noticed.
Based on, they were doing the same thing last year when it came to injury and trying to be careful in what they shared and not shared for those same reasons. So it was just another instance of which had everybody going crazy last year, coming up with all kinds of, it's going to be day to day, and then it's months, and then it's like.
And that's the thing, though, like from a perspective of last year, I don't feel like that approach worked. I understand the reason for it. I get that.
Yeah.
You don't have to share everything with fans. You don't have to share everything. Really, it's not about fans. Let's be real. This is about gambling. You don't have to share everything with gamblers. There's a certain protocol that you've got to follow. A player is in or a player is out. That's what it amounts to in terms of gambling. From a fan standpoint, they want to know, why is a player in? Why is a player out? How long are they going to be in? Are
they in a walking boot now?
Right.
Like, when we're told day to day, like, what is going on?
Well, and that's what I mean, where their approach of being kind of secretive didn't really help, because you're looking at it, because you started to hearing, like, I hated people trying to label different players last year as soft. Or, you know, why, yeah, if it's, yeah, if they're day to day, why aren't they back? And there was the frustrating situation. I know we're focused on Marvin, but there was the frustrating thing with Rashawn Holmes. Where Rashawn had a shoulder injury. Oh, okay. And then he goes back to practice. And then all of a sudden was it a torn labrum? There was a tear. There was something more significant.
Yep.
And it was like, wait, did he have that before and you just noticed? Or did you bring it back from practice too? Did you bring it back to practice too quick and he tore his labrum? Like, what happened? So I don't feel like that approach from the Kings last year worked very well.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see how it's handled this year with COVID and everything else, because it's, I mean, as you can imagine, you're going to need every single body available as the season goes on. I mean, you're already seeing positives all around the league. So and just like with the NFL, Major League Baseball, as you start traveling, I mean, it's going to be interesting, and how much of their contact, like for football, it's one wide receiver test positive. All wide receivers are now on the contact, close contact.
Yeah. I
mean, with basketball, it's extremely, you're seeing guys still kind of do individual like workouts or like position workouts, you know, away from each other, but it's hard to know like how they're going to handle that kind of stuff as it goes along.
And I don't know that, I don't think there's like a COVID list, you know, the NFL has a COVID reserve list, and unless it's not just
using the G League team. I mean, like, I don't, yeah.
And that's like, I don't know if they're like, if you just tune in on, you know, Wednesday, December 23rd and, you know, Buddy Hield's not playing he might just not be playing. I don't know. In the NFL, you get added to the COVID reserve list, and that could mean you were in close contact. That could mean you're at risk, or that could mean you tested positive. It could mean a variety of things. The protocol is different for all of them, but they all go to the same list. I don't think the NBA has announced such a thing yet. So it is going to be a weird, it's going to, like, what are the, you know, what do they deem close contact? Like we learned from the NFL after the Dez Bryant situation on Tuesday Night Football, that, well, here's what the NFL deems as high risk. If you're in, or what they deem as close contact, if you're around someone indoors for more than 15 minutes. That's what close contact is. They eliminate things by being outside the length of time you're around somebody. So do they have contact tracing similar to what they had in the bubble? They didn't have to utilize it in the bubble, right, but they had the capability, because I think it was those rings that they were wearing. They had capability to do contact tracing with those.
They so, had like the wristbands, rings. They had all kinds of.
They had all sorts of gadgets to navigate.
If you got Walt too Disney close World. To something, it, you know, for too long, it was beeping on you to keep moving. And Well, and then they were even talking about like when you're traveling and or when you're home and when are like allowing certain restaurants and not restaurant. Like it's really going to be. And, you know, like it's going to be interesting on how. Yeah, it's. I mean, because like in the bubble, Rashawn got to, you know, had to go on quarantine for crossing that, imaginary line to get his wings. And so it's like,
to get them wings.
What if a delivery guy here messes up on your order and then you have to go to the place to like fix it? Like, are you allowed to go to the, you know, the restaurant in exchange for your food back after like a bad delivery? Like, I don't like what are the deemed allowed? Like,
that's hilarious.
I don't know.
It's just a hilarious visual trying to picture like Nemanja Bjelica taking his DoorDash order back to the restaurant because something went awry. And that'd be a hell of a story. Like, oh, I can't wait for Mark Jones to say, oh, Nemanja Bjelica is missing tonight's game because he had a DoorDash order gone bad and he went back to the hot wing place. And I don't know why I'm assuming Nemanja Bjelica had hot wings. I'm just trying to put together a story.
Yeah,
here.
No, it was at a different place. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a burger.
Moving along here. It wasn't just Marvin Bagley who spoke since the last time we did a podcast, Buddy Hield spoke as well. And Buddy and Luke both seem to work particularly hard to downplay any potential riff, any potential issues, any potential, you know, problems between the two. I mean, this was one quote that was maybe not the most grammatically correct thing, but it's what Buddy was saying.
I never had a problem with nobody here. So, you know, everything that was being heard, it wasn't put out by me. So, I love everybody here in this franchise, this organization. So, I don't regret nothing I say. So I'm going to keep it 100.
So a lot of the questions that's I think it was Saturday to Buddy were your relationships, how are you feeling, different things like that. What did you make of Buddy's comments this weekend?
I did think it was interesting where he said a lot of the stuff that was out there wasn't said by him, and then at the end he said, I don't regret anything I've said. But I'm not surprised that either one tried to downplay it. I mean, all we heard, at least from the Kings side, about Buddy was that they expect him to be here and have his head down and work like he always does. And, you know, just coming to play. I mean, he might not have said it, but he showed it, I would say, like on social media, based on, you know what you're liking or not liking and things like that. But you know, it is what it is. I mean, look at the James Harden situation. Like, there's stuff happening on every team, you know, everywhere. As long as it doesn't affect the locker room, and he comes and plays and does what is asked of him, I really don't.
And it never sounded like in the midst of all of that stuff last year, it never felt like it affected the locker room.
Right.
I mean, we're not in it, but we never got even like that remote sense. Kings management, they may have felt different. Maybe, I don't know, but maybe the coaching staff.
Yes.
Maybe they all felt different. But in terms of the players and chemistry amongst the team, it never felt like, or at least we never got the impression that was an issue last season.
Right. I mean, and in the grand scheme, like you're grown men all getting paid a lot of money, like figure it out. It's it's in Buddy's best interest to figure it out, right? I mean, and if he does genuinely want to get out of here, his in best interest is to come out here and like go off, like just, you know what I mean? Like put it on the court and do what we know you can do and what you've said you can do. Because it's either going to really help this team in addition to raising your stock that much higher. Do you know what I mean? Like, because we've heard on and off all off season, like none of us really know what his, I mean, we know what his value is, but like compared to other teams, like you knew if you were getting rid of him, to me, he'd be at his lowest value because they know that you're
right.
Being forced completely to get rid of him rather than just coveting, you know, one of the best shooters in the league.
Yeah. That was, so, and that was my argument with Bogey and keep him now, trade him later is like he's immediately a depreciating asset. The second you take on that contract, then you'll never get anything remotely back to what you want for him. If you moved Buddy now, it's the exact same situation. Everybody knows there's something here. And it's one thing for everyone to look at Houston, use the James Harden example a minute ago. It's one thing for everybody to look at Houston and go, well, there's something here. That's James Harden. There are going to be teams out there in the league, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, who say this guy's going to win us a championship. No one's going to go, oh, look at what's going on in Sacramento. Let's go get Buddy Hield at his highest point because we think he can win us a championship. I think Philadelphia might look at Buddy Hield and go, oh, he'd be a great asset for us, but we ain't selling the farm to get him. And I don't know that there's a team in the league that goes, you know what we're missing? Buddy. I don't think anybody is saying that. So
you as their number one. No, I mean.
Well, certainly not as a number one. Like that's not even close. Like,
that it's, I mean, on a contender, he's going to be 3, 4, 5.
That's what, that's, like, that's what I.
You go to the Lakers, you're LeBron and AD. I mean, you go to Houston, you'd still be, even with John Wall not playing 2 years, like it would still be Harden, like John Wall. And, but like, it's just, right. No matter where you would go, you're not going to be that guy that you necessarily might think, you know. That
I've legit been trying to figure that out. Like, where is his place in the rest? Like, can Buddy, if Buddy's, you know, Buddy says, I love playing basketball. I love working. I want to come here. I want to win games. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
But they started to win games when he was in a different role last year. And I don't think that particularly sat well with him. I don't think you need to be Inspector Gadget to figure that one out. Like it did not sit well with him. So.
And he got to play the role that I think a lot of us wanted him to play off the bench. And that's kind of the thing that was frustrating too, was it's like, I mean, but, and that's why it worked. I mean, frustrating in the sense that that's how we felt like he should have been used in, with the starters. But, again, he said that he's going to accept whatever role is asked of him. Let's.
Well, here's that clip when he was asked about starting.
I mean, to be honest with you, I always love competing, and it doesn't matter. That's not my job. I don't control that. The head coach controls that. I'm just here to. They brought me out to do certain reasons to play basketball and win basketball games. So whatever they need me for, I'm going to do it, and try to do this and compete as the highest as I can.
So.
I'm trying to remember who it was that wrote it last week. And I don't know if it was James or Jason or Sam or somebody else, but it was that Buddy wasn't necessarily upset that he was moved. It was how it was handled.
I believe it was Jason.
Okay.
I believe it was Jason Jones, The Athletic, who wrote that.
If that's the case, then you'd take exactly what he just said and say, obviously, like, okay, if it really wasn't about being moved to the bench and it was just how it happened, or he felt like all the blame was on him and nobody else when there are plenty of other issues that were going around, you know, with that team, then granted, I get that. I get it. No one would want to be the public, you know, scapegoat in that sense. And I wouldn't blame him for being upset about that. So generally, if I take what that was said and that's true, then his comments about that and accepting whatever role is given to him makes complete sense.
He's had 3 coaches, right? Alvin, Dave, and Luke. Is that right?
Yes.
Two of those three have played him off the bench. Isn't Dave Yeager the only one who has started him? I mean, I know Luke did, but ultimately
then,
moved him.
And then there was even comments about him saying, like, he, well, I don't think it was necessarily him that said it, but it was reporters saying that they even felt like that Dave had said behind the scenes or whatever, that they felt like that was his perfect role, was the six man role.
Right.
And it makes sense, because if you can have that kind of production as your number one guy off the bench, that's Lou Williams essentially, right? That guy made a career of putting up those points. Bobby Jackson for years did that kind of stuff, where he could have started for pretty much any other team. And you know, he was our sixth man that, but I can also understand the frustration of doing that on a bad team. If you, when you're getting paid, you know, $24 million this year.
Yeah.
As long as you're getting the minutes. And it was something too, that he was upset that I think he wasn't closing out the games. Like, to me, that was more telling that he wasn't putting you in at the end of games than you coming off the bench. Like, as long as you're getting the minutes to me and you're closing out the games.
That's a trust issue. That's what that's not your ability to hit a three there, a jump shot. That's your ability to not make a stupid play, or to not totally just die on the defensive end. I think that's what that plays into. And I do recall that. And I'm quite confident that the article you're referring to was a December 5th article from Jason Jones of The Athletic.
So I'm curious. I'm actually, rather than where he comes, I'm curious to see how he handles his turnovers. If there's improvement on, you know, defense and like a team defensive scheme, to where he could, where he can be in there and close out games. And there is a trust there. Cause to me, that would speak volumes if he's out there at the end of games.
Yeah.
In there, to me, that would show huge progress.
Yep. Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. A couple of other things here. I guess the main note should be, I think we already noted Hassan Whiteside is day-to-day with the calf strain. He's doing some individual work, light work
like
on
he'll
the court.
Be there Friday either.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to allude to, or not allude to. That's a poor use of the word. That's exactly what I was going to say. He's not going to play Friday. So as we approach our first preseason game, what do you think?
Well, to me, that...
You want to get on the Jabari Parker train with me?
Right. Oh, I was going to say that leaves room for, if Whiteside isn't there, you have Frank and Metu, who are both not guaranteed contracts from the 4-5 position, mostly 5 position. Mm-hmm. And Metu is the one that interests me the most, being that he's only like 23, I think, and came from the Spurs, but still very green and has that outside shot presence, where I'm curious to see how this roster comes together throughout this with these guys that are not on these guaranteed deals, and who ends up getting those last spots, and who ends up going to the G League, you know, because we're assuming that goes. But it is funny. Yeah. It's interesting hearing about the Jabari. I'm not surprised, because when that guy's been healthy,
he's good.
Good. He might not play the defense to you, but I'm sorry, but not many people in this league are like huge. You need to focus on the team defense, and to me more so than individual. But I get it, because he actually made that comment in Houston, was they don't pay the big contracts for defense.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that he's never going to live that
wrong.
Down. So it's just,
he ain't wrong,
right?
Though.
But he's looked good in the clips that we've seen, and every player is talking about how, you know, how impressed that they've seen him be.
I'll ask you a question that I asked Kenny. If Jabari Parker wasn't taken number 2 overall, if he was taken like 13th, would we look at him completely differently?
Oh, I think so.
Because we measure guys, and I know it's not just, you know, we always say.
And you saw pre-injured Jabari, and you've seen post.
Right.
And even was post- getting paid pre, like there was no, he was good in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Oh, he was very good in Milwaukee. I mean he had he had a 20 point season, I think in 2016, maybe.
And Kings fans were salivating over it.
Oh my gosh. I remember. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I mean, and why wouldn't you? Yeah.
But he's still a career like 15 and some change, like maybe 15 and 8 or something like that.
And he played well in the bubble. Like, and he's even said, like, he's got to be tired of moving around. I mean, he's on his, what, sixth, seventh team in, like, you know, a matter of just a couple of years, between Chicago, Washington, Atlanta, Sacramento. Like, he's been, kind of like Ariza, he's been tossed around. And he's still young. Like, he's multiple years younger than Buddy Hield. Like, the kid is, like, the kid
everybody is younger than Buddy Hield.
He feels like he's been in the league for 15 years, but he's only, like, 25. Like, he is 25, 26. Like, he's still young. And, yes, he's on a contract year. To me, he's got, you know, stuff to prove.
Milwaukee, Chicago, Washington, Atlanta. I mean, Chicago, Washington, Atlanta. That was just in the span of, I mean, that was literally, that was season. His 2006, 2017 season. I mean, and here's the thing. Here was one of the things that I noticed when looking at his, you know, markers is he had, he averaged 20.1 points per game. He played 51 games that year. I mean, and he played 61 the year that he was traded. That's the most games that he's played. Or I take that back. That's the most games he's played since his second season. He played 76 games that year. You know, he played 25 games his rookie season. There's always that, you know, there's always that caveat where it's like, yeah, when he's healthy, he's really good. His number is 15.1, 5.8 on his career. He's never stunk. Like, he's never been like, oh my gosh, this kid is awful. He's never been that. It's right. Just now a question of how healthy can Jabari Parker be moving forward. And quite honestly, that's the same question I ask about Marvin. That's all I care about Marvin Bagley is, can my man be healthy?
Right.
Let him be healthy. I think he shows out quite a bit. If not, then we're going to be playing this game until he's no longer a King. Which, if he keeps getting injured, it's probably not going to be much longer.
Right. Sadly.
So I just root for the health of these two guys. I imagine maybe we see some Daquan Jeffries on Friday as well.
Yeah, I think we'll see Jeffries. I would assume we'd see Woodard. I'm excited to see if they start, how much they kind of mess with the different lineups. Because again, this is, in a normal preseason, this is the time to do it. I don't know if it's because if we have a shortened preseason and a shortened training camp, if we'll maybe not see as much as that. But normally you see a lot of the vets kind of sitting during preseason, right? Like, and on a good team, I'm assuming that's going to happen.
LeBron and AD are not playing on Friday.
I'm curious. I would assume Corey Joseph is gonna play unless they throw Ramsey out there. I don't know how they're gonna handle these guys. Again, it's hard to know because we're dealing with something unlike we haven't seen before.
But
I'm excited to see, you know, all the new guys. I'm excited to see, I think GR3 Glenn Robinson's gonna be out there. I really like him.
Is that what we're going with? Is that a thing, GR3? I like that.
Yeah, well, instead of the third, it's GR3. Yeah.
Yeah, we got GR3 and MB3, right? I'm with it. And and what did we decide? What did you call? You called Tyrese Halley? That's what it was.
Oh, Halley. Yeah. And then someone asked him, and he's like, "I've never been called that before. I don't know." And so I was like, been trying not to do it because I don't want to be like offend the guy if he was really like not into it, because he was really like, "Oh, I don't know." But like, I've seen other people say it. He said it was, I think, Reese and maybe said Ty. I don't know that people have called.
Well, I mean, those make perfect sense.
But Hallie was just a shortened, and it's, you know, being in from Hallie, it just made sense.
There's a Halle Berry play here somewhere, like Halle Burton, like Halle. Yeah, it's. I'll work on it. I'll workshop this. I'll workshop.
But this. It was an easier way than just saying the whole last name. So.
Yeah, I like Ty or Tyrese. Halliburton can be. Someone called him. I think it was Jason Anderson. Someone called him Ty, and it took me for a minute. Like, who's he talking about? Yeah. And then it wasn't until Luke answered. I was like, oh, he's talking about Tyrese Halliburton. Oh, we've settled on Ty. That's his nickname. I thought we were going with Hallie. That's what we decided on the podcast. That's what we're going to call him. HoopBall podcast listeners are going with Hallie, while everyone else, I guess, is.
We'll see if he ends up getting some other kind of.
How about Baller?
The time goes, but yeah.
How about that? Well, that's coming up on Friday. We appreciate you so much, as always, for tuning in. Please subscribe, rate, review, share, follow on Twitter at Jill Adge. Maybe Jill will pick a fight with you. Who knows? Like, Jill will pick a fight with you and then get all of Kings Nation to rally, and she'll just lay back and watch the person who picked a fight with her slowly suffer his demise.
Two more sleeps, everybody. Two more sleeps.
I want to elaborate so much more, but you told me not to, so I'm not going to. Subscribe, rate, review, share the podcast. We really hope you enjoy.
I'm sure they all know.
Everybody knows.
If they're listening to this, they know.
And then, you know, we'll be back. Like, we'll be back next Wednesday. Obviously, we'll be back next Wednesday for sure. And then, you know, we're going to just start. Hey, I might just shoot Jill a text. Hey, you want to do a podcast? Jill might just shoot me a text. Hey, you want to do a podcast? A great game tonight. That's what we're going to be doing, man. Tons of Sacramento Kings coverage here on the HoopBall platform. And of course, the Be Heard podcast platform as well. Anything else before we go?
Nope. Just thanks everybody for listening. And we are excited about Friday. Finally, Kings basketball's back.
That's the perfect out. I'm going to cut right there. That's perfect.